In 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, writing to Brother Timothy, a young preacher, young pastor, he says in verse number 13 of chapter 4, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, give attendance to doctrine." And now that word doctrine is talking about teaching. Teaching. It says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy, by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery." He says, "Meditate on these things, give thyself wholly unto them, that thy profiting may be appear to all, and take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine." Take heed unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. It's right along the line of what we saw this morning, is that in the word of our Lord is life. And when we take that word and fill up with it and look to observe it and obey it and apply it to our lives, that is the blessing. That is the greatest blessing that we can have. And of course, it takes the Spirit of God living within for it to avail to that spiritual goal and effect. And so someone must be saved. The Word of God is good for everybody indeed, but in the realm that we're talking about for the children of God. He says here, give attendance to reading. And, you know, we are used to, in our services, to hear the preaching and hear the preaching of God's Word. The brethren that teach, you know, use the Word of the Lord for the basis of their teaching or the basis of preaching, and that's ought to be. That should be that way. The Bible is the basis. Our brother is certainly admonishing Brother Timothy to read for himself. You know, we need to read for ourselves. But he also tells him to exhort, and that exhortation is talking about the ministry that he has. And so here this afternoon, just thinking about this, thinking about our Lord, remembering our Lord's death till he comes, we just want to read about it and just have the Lord speak to us through his word. I invite you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. The child of God should know the Lord Jesus Christ well, should learn of him, as he tells us in Matthew chapter 11. And you can learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, in the Gospels. The Gospels, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I believe, always need to be at the forefront and a mainstay in the study, Bible study, of the child of God. You and I will never master the content of the Gospels. You and I are fraught with sin and frailty and this old man, and it's just that way. We forget. We forget about our Lord. And as we read these things about our Lord that is contained in the Gospels, what he did on this earth to win our salvation, to purchase our salvation, for the child of God whose heart is right before the Lord, they're always going to be fresh. They're always going to be new. Because you can always look to the Scriptures and you can always know and say and believe in your heart that that's what Jesus did for me. He did that for me. And that's the reason that the Lord's given us this ordinance, baptism, that shows his burial because of his death and resurrection. And that's what happens to the people that he saves. And that's the hope that we have, is the resurrection. But the Lord's Supper speaks about his death, doesn't it? It's that beginning part of the gospel about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death alone. And we need to remember his death. We need to meditate upon his death. We need to thank him for his death and his shed blood for us. And we need to be always in pursuit about our Lord and his fulfilling of his gospel and his ministry that he accomplished for us. If you'd have been the only one to save, the Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't have done a thing different about his coming. One sinner in need of salvation would require all that he did. But by the power of God, he calls many sons to glory, and I praise his name for that, but it is a personal thing. In John chapter 18, the scripture says, "When Jesus has spoken these words in his prayer in chapter 17, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who made a fire of coals, and for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogues and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? And Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him to bound to Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou one of his disciples? Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! They smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing a crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. Then the chief priests therefore and officers saw him. When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh him a king speaketh against Caesar. Maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was at the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, in the Hebrew, Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh unto the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture did they cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And then saith he unto the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled it, filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. We read on a few more verses. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. So one account of four of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we're given this ordinance, a very simple ordinance, in that there's unleavened bread and wine that we use to represent the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. As one of the Lord's churches in this, and as we look to observe the Lord's Supper, we're called to examine ourselves. And these are passages that each one of us as members of the Lord's church, we need to be familiar with and we need to know about. We always need to be judging ourselves and that oneself. You need to be taking care of you, and I need to be taking care of me. It's our responsibility before the Lord. It's our responsibility that we have one to another and commitment that we have one to another in the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the apostle is dealing with this church, and she's fraught with issues. I mean, she's got people in it. She's got these folks. This church has got folks in it that were pagans that have been saved some from some terrible wickedness and sins, just like you and I have been. And he is admonishing them to get things right. Get things right amongst yourselves and look to honor the Lord in the obedience of observing the Lord's Supper. He makes a directive here about what it's all about in verses 24 and 25. As he quotes the Lord Jesus Christ, "Do this, take this bread and take this cup and do so in remembrance of me." That's the reason we do it. He says, as oft as we do so in verse 26, we show the Lord's death till he come. And we show it. The Lord Jesus is not crucified again, but we remember it. We remember it, and we tell how it is. That our Lord gave his body, that he gave his body, not a bone broken, but he gave his body on Calvary for us. As Scripture says, he poured out his soul unto death. The Scripture says that his blood was shed and was shed there on Calvary, and he did so for us. So many things that the Lord did for us in his death. Forgiveness of sins, redemption, the fulfilling of the law, righteousness imputed unto us, justification that comes by having the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ placed upon us by virtue of his salvation upon us. He's done so much for us. He has loved us indeed. And from the human standpoint and from the standpoint of a man, he did and has loved us to the end. Now, we know our Lord has no end. And we know on the other side of this death that he did raise from the dead. And we can't help but mention that. But he did die. And we need to show his death for us. He says we need to not eat and drink of the cup of the Lord, not eat and drink of this supper unworthily. We don't want to be guilty of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet we are. My sins did put him there. But this is not it's not to be a spectacle. It's not to be a show. We need to make sure that we have in our hearts the right placement. We don't do this to stay saved. We don't do this to be saved. We don't do this to leverage the Lord in any way. We do so to be obedient to Him. To be obedient to Him. We need to show His death till He comes back for us, and we need to watch this about eating and drinking unworthily. This has been posed in many churches and by many to be a great mystery, but I don't think so. Verses 28 and subsequent tell us what it is. Let a man examine himself, verse 28, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. That's the admonition. Observe it. I heard the other day about a church that didn't observe the Lord's Supper for 9 to 17 years. It's not glorifying to our Lord. A church won't be found perfect because we are not perfect. But we do have business that we need to take care of. And when we have that business before us to take care of, we need to pursue it and do so. And we need to introspect self. Listen, he says, examine self and do participate of that. It says here, for he that drinketh, verse 29, eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, condemnation from the Lord, judgment, chastisement for the child of God. Not the losing of salvation. Nothing can pluck us out of the hand of our Lord. But our Lord will reckon with His children. He will. He, even in the church, and even before the church would undertake to do something because of our waywardness or our public sin, gross sin. He says, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And that's what we need to do. Jesus sacrificed Himself 2,000 years ago for us. And He did it once. And that's all that needed to be done. We don't do it again. We don't sacrifice the Lord again. What He did, He did once. And that was enough. By His power. We don't need to think that something else can come in line and help or accomplish our salvation other than what Jesus did for us. Again, keeping this doesn't keep one saved. Keeping this does not save one. There are many in the world that believe that. But it does not. It's not a sacrament. It's an ordinance. He says here, the Lord's working, but a lack of discerning about the Lord's body and a lack of discerning and understanding about what the Lord's Supper is and how we should observe it. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Those that do so unworthily and not making something out of the Lord's Supper that it's not, the Lord will take care of. And so we need to have understanding right about the purpose of it. It's to remember Him and what He's done for us till He comes back. May we examine ourselves. He says here in regards to this examination, verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Nobody else has to enter into the picture if Jim takes care of himself, confesses his sins before the Lord. Look to change in the way that Jim sins and has fault before the Lord. To receive the reproof and the rebuke of the Lord and turn unto Him and change my ways and turn from self. Turn from the way of the world. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. The Lord won't have to, nor will we. But when we are judged, verse 32, we are chastened of the Lord. And that's our state as the child of God, that we should not be condemned with the world. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly from temptation and out of judgment and condemnation of the wicked. He loves us. We are His children. He says, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And we should. Those that are near should wait. And that's the reason we announce it. We announce it. We announce it. To let it be known. We have a schedule about the Lord's Supper, a general schedule about when we will observe it. We let it be known. And we should wait one for another. And then the membership should come and should engage in it. He said, wherefore, my brethren, when you're come together to eat, tarry one for another. Be together in it. If any man hunger, let him eat at home. That was an issue that they had there. It's not a meal. We had lunch. This is not for nourishment. This is to honor the Lord and to remember the Lord. And so we need to know that that's the case. Why? That we come not together unto condemnation, that damnation that's talked about in 29. You know, damnation is a very serious word. Well, it's a very serious thing. It is. But that damnation relative to the child of God is talking about chastisement from the Lord, a Lord that loves us and looks to lead us and guide us in a right way. And then we have this personally. And then in 1 Corinthians 5, we have this together collectively in the church. This church was puffed up, had sin in the church that was open and public, grievous sin. And it's not named amongst the Gentiles. It was really bad. That was their issue. The point is that we need to introspect as a church. Do we have membership that's involved in public sin, that's involved in grievous open sin? The command from the Lord, through the inspiration of the Lord and to our brother in this epistle, is that such things need to be taken away or delivered up in verse number 5, or purged out. That's what it is. And verse number 9, he says, verse number 8, therefore let us keep the feast. He refers to it as a feast for us. It's not a banquet, but it is something that we have to hold to. One of the two ordinances, he says, let us therefore keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice or of wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We don't need to have open public sin mingled amongst the membership in the church. And if it's known, not deal with it. We need to take and purge that out. He says here, I wrote unto you in an epistle, verse 9, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. You're going to run into this in life. We're to be a witness to these folks. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother in the church be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? What folks do on the outside of the church is none of our affair. We may look on and grieve. We are certainly to pray. We've all got family members that are astray and away from the Lord, don't we, in one degree or another, need to be saved or claim to be saved and wayward. We all have that. We have no responsibility over them. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? And yes, that's the word. We make judgments according to what the Lord's given us. But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. And so, introspection of the body collectively and within.